Ahoy, ahoy.
Ahoy, hoy.
Ahoy, ahoy.
Hi,
Ahoy,
it's
hoy.
Maddie B.
Shalom in the home, my friends. I come bearing a donut.
Oh, what kind
you
of
didn't
donut
bring
is
enough for the
that?
rest of us.
No, oh, I actually did, but they're in the other room, so come on
Oh,
by.
okay.
This is, I think it was called a collier. It was like a French pastry. They said the batter had more egg in it, so it's more like a like an eggier, lighter, more brioche style donut.
Okay, I
So
was
I
going to
have
say it looks a little churro-ish the way it's got like the
yeah,
edges.
yeah, it's cut like a churro, absolutely. Yeah. It feels yeah, it feels like a little bouncy. Like definitely it's got more egg going in it, but I'll tell you how it is as we podcast because this is
Now,
an
please do.
interactive show.
You'll actually learn that it's actually important to know where donut shops are when you're with JJ, because you may actually be able to save his life with a cronut, like I
It's
did in
true.
Shanghai.
That's true.
Nice.
Wait,
Nice.
were you crashing out and he shoved a donut in your mouth to save your life?
Pretty much. Pretty much. It was in like
Jesus.
this, it was like in a little mall. We were just like hanging out, walking around Shanghai, and all of a sudden my blood sugar dropped. And I was like, Paul, I don't know where I am. Or actually, I think it was more like CZ, I don't know where I am. I need sugar. And he's like, there's a cronut shop over there. And I'm like, perfect. And I just like you saw that one time when I was eating bread, the other time we were streaming, it was just like, oh, in my mouth.
Yeah, you go full Homer Simpson. Like, there's no teeth involved. It just goes right down.
Mean, it makes sense. So.
Impressive. Yep, that's Paul's superpower. If you're gonna die from lack of food, he will fix you.
There's one thing I'm pretty good at is finding the essential foods.
So there are people that I know that give directions by specific things. Like there's one person we know that give direction by pub. So you go to this pub, turn right, go down three more pubs, you turn left. I know someone very close to me who's all about the coffee shop. So Paul, tell me, how do you give directions? Do you give directions by like little holes in the wall, food places, or
I tell you to look it up on Google Maps.
Thank you. Like
you're not gonna save someone's life that way, Paul. Like,
Paul's
so
not a Luddite. Look up. You've got a phone on you, if not
right?
two. Look at your fucking phone. Stop it with this.
I'll either grab you by the scruff of your beard and drag you along with me, or I'll tell you to Google Maps it.
Well, since
Yeah.
I don't have a beard, I will see. If I'm asking you where to go find food, I guess you're just going to tell me to go look it up.
I'll tell you where to go find
Read the
food, but I'm not
friendly
gonna.
manual.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not gonna give you
Friendly.
directions because I'll get it wrong. You'll get it wrong. You'll end up in like Murder Alley, and someone dressed up like Ronald McDonald is gonna eat your face.
Feels more like a childhood trauma than a random reference.
That does oddly
Oddly
specific right
specific.
there.
Oddly
Whoa.
specific. It's gonna be May on a cold day in 1994, and you're just gonna find Ronald McDonald in the hallway, and you're not gonna know why he's there, and you used to love him, but all of a sudden he's touching you. No. So Paul might have told me the story. I'm sorry to recap that. So let's move on. We better move on.
Moving on.
Where's
So,
wait, where's Paul
Matt,
going? No.
stinky tin fish.
are we gonna do this?
We're gonna do this. So regular tin fish is becoming, apparently, it's the new hot girl food this summer. And all the hot girls on the social media influencers are eating tin fish. I don't know that they're eating the stinky tin fish though, and so that might be a thing.
It's a really bold move, and I think it's the only logical way to, this is only logical in a world where we have had masks on our face for over 12 months. Like,
I guess no one's
why?
worried about it then.
Yeah, exactly. No one's
Okay.
looking to impress anybody. It's just, let's just down some gefilte fish or lutefisk or anything else that's, if it's in a tin, it's edible. That's what my
Right.
grandpappy used to say.
Yeah, I didn't really think about the mask kind of covering the smell of your breath, but isn't that just going to mean that the only person that smells it is you?
Right.
Yeah, it's just a recirculating experience.
Yeah. I guess that's one way to make the experience last longer.
But I thought the whole point of this summer was like, you know, masks off, pants off, dance off type energy. Not like masks off, let's eat some smelly fish in a can. Like, so how did you stumble across this is the better question. Are you a regular reader of Nylon's culture column?
I think all the algorithms just know me really well. And they go, oh, there's a weird tin food related article up. We'd better send you to it.
Yeah, not fish, not just food, fish food. Yeah.
So all the algorithms are saying like, hey, Paul, do you want to eat this?
Right.
Basically. Okay.
I like now, it.
They talk about how actually fish is healthy for you. Oily fishes are good for you. And it's all protein and stuff. So I guess it kind of makes sense. But I'm not seeing myself in my bikini on a hot beach, undoing like that tin of sardines with that metal key.
And then
like eating sardines with a fork at the beach. I just don't see that happening. It doesn't seem like a refreshing summer thing to do.
That little cut you if you're not careful.
Maybe like opening the jar of mussels and just like drinking the mussels straight from the jar. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the only thing better than a jar filled with hot dogs, the jar full of mussels, like on a hot, salty beach day.
Now, I do have friends that will get like the jar of oysters and will push an oyster down into like a bottle of Corona or whatever.
What?
And like get this like salty, oystery flavored beer.
Can I be the one to say people are weird?
People are weird. I mean, you can get those Budweisers with clam juice in them. So it's, you know.
You can get what? Budweisers with what?
Clam juice.
No, Paul, you're the only one on this level right now, so you'll have to take a couple steps back. Wait, where is that coming?
Like, you can buy it pre-made.
Where?
What I'm universe? Sure you can. Excuse my the sound of my voice. I'm eating a donut.
JJ, back me up here. This is a real thing, right?
Are you? Is it the Michelada one? Is that the one you're talking about?
I'm thinking of Clamato. So it's.
Yeah, that's a Michelada. Yeah, that's a Michelada.
So right, but it's beer, tomato, and clam juice.
No clam juice, no.
What's the claw means?
I don't know.
White claw?
I'm sure it does.
No, I don't think so.
I have no idea what's going on.
I think Ronald McDonald made him drink clam juice, and
I think so.
We just crossed the wires today.
All right. Well, I was sure Clamato had clam juice in it.
I mean, it's in the name.
Like, right.
It's either that or a lobster claw, and that sounds way too fancy.
Well, that's why I was wondering if this is like, you know, White Claw.
Clamato is a juice made from tomato juice, sugar, and is flavored with spices and clam broth. Hence the name Clamato.
But then where does the alcohol come in? Because you were talking about the alcohol going with it. That's what I'm confused about.
Well, you have it with beer, and you can buy a pre-made Bud Light Clamato beer.
I'm telling you, Bud Light does not have that juice in there. They might probably call it that, but they would not have that in there. It would not have that.
All
right. It'd be way too expensive because Clamatos are fucking cheap. Those are real cheap to buy. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's
you learn something new every day.
New depth of hell for us, Laura. Who knew?
Like, yeah, I know.
In that layer, like, you can get a beer, but it has to have clam in it.
I mean, I guess on the subject of like strange things to do in pubs when you're bored, other than arguing about Clamatos, and that was a really, really awful transition on my part.
Sorry, I thought a collective of Clamatos is Clamadia.
Hey.
Oh, dear.
Speaking of hot girl summers.
Yeah. There we go. We're trying really hard on the callbacks today, aren't we? So Ars Technica actually had an article. Someone studied the physics of a flying beer coaster. So, you know, like the little cardboard beer coasters that you get at bars and things like that.
I've seen them before, once or twice.
I'm sure you have.
So with like 50 ultimate frisbees behind her, I'm like, wasn't this a known science?
Well, actually, I mean, if you really want me to get into the physics of how those frisbees fly, you know, I can, but I don't think you really want me to do that on the podcast. But they've actually studied the physics of the beer coaster to say that beer mats tend to flip in the air and fly with a backspin. Someone actually did this as a paper, and I really want to know how I get in on that research project.
I think you have to be in the right frat house at the right school.
I just think of how awfully tedious that would be, honestly. Any sort of physics proofs made like math proofs look reasonable. So, did you do physics, Laura?
I actually studied earth and atmospheric science, which meant that one of my big courses was fluid dynamics. So, yes, I did a lot of math and stuff. So, for me, like actually, my senior project was the physics of paper airplanes, how they fly through a fluid.
Oh.
Wait, yeah. Fly through fluids?
Yeah. Air is a fluid.
No, air is a gas.
Air is a fluid.
What?
No, it's not. Yeah,
gas and liquids are fluids.
Oh,
yeah. They behave in a certain way. Yeah, I know.
When you think about the motion of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Their state in whatever definition of state is gas, but their dynamics is fluid.
I was getting
a bit of a word.
I was getting fluid and liquid confused.
That's okay. It's kind of a common thing. But yeah. Yes, my senior project was on the physics of paper airplanes flying through fluids. So
I saw this study
and I was like, ooh.
I just realized, Laura, you're the only person, the guy who or people or women who wrote that paper are like, you're the only person I know that would love to hear that story in a bar.
Yes, like, I guess that's true.
The average person in the bar is like, did you know I did the math on how to throw one of these and like how fast they go? And they're like, shut the fuck up. Like, it's well, over like, another
it
Clamadia
almost sounds
or whatever.
Like they're trying to give you like some kind of pickup line, right? Like,
exactly.
Hey, I did the math on how to do this. And somebody's like, okay, yeah, right.
Yeah,
that's great.
Do the math on another round of my oyster beer.
I probably would like pass them a napkin and say, all right, napkin math time. Show me the math. I want to see this. Give me the equations. Let's do this.
And that's how you met your BFF.
Something like that. Actually, I met my partner by arguing about Ubuntu. It was great.
Wow. Oh. I've only met assholes that way.
Right? Hey!
No, we argued about package managers. That's way
different. That's different.
Way different.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't, okay. Wasn't operating system specific.
Nice.
Oh, man. Did I hear... Oh, I can't believe I'm going to be the one that brings this up. Is there a 20th anniversary coming up on Tuesday?
It was last Tuesday.
Oh.
I love how you were the one that brought this up. Fast and the Furious had its 20th anniversary. Yes, it did.
Yeah.
And they were showing us in Austin.
So that means 20. We average one Fast and the Furious movie every 2 and a little bit years.
Yep.
Yeah. Keep it going.
So we're kind of doing like intermittent Fast and the Furious thing.
Nice.
That's the best use of Fast and the Furious yet.
People are having fun trying to do the 10th movie, trying to name it. I really like the Fasten Your Seatbelts.
Yeah. Oh, I was about to say that.
That was a good one.
That is very good. That was very good.
Matt's just looking at me like,
no. I'm just like, they can't get worse. Aren't they like, I stopped listening after like Too Fast, Too Furious. Like, I honestly don't know what happened after that. I'm guessing there was 7 others because you just mentioned the 10th.
Yeah, look, but Matt just lives his life 1/4 pounder at a time.
One Clamato at a time.
One Clamato.
That is my new measurement. That is a metric in my mind now. Clamatos. So, Paul, are you going back to school?
Am I going back to school? Yeah, I am this weekend.
Do tell.
I'm going to a university I might actually be able to not drop out of.
Oh.
Nice.
Well, mostly because it's a 3-day barbecue university.
Nice. Oh, there we go.
Tell us everything.
Yes.
So there's a dude on the YouTubes called Chud's Barbecue. His name is Bradley Robinson. He's here in Austin, and he used to work for Leroy and Lewis, and he's doing his own stuff now, doing his YouTube channel, making barbecue pits and stuff. And he did a giveaway for a ticket to the Leroy and Lewis Barbecue School, and I won it. And so it's like $1,000 for a 3-day thing, and I get it.
Holy shit.
So that's pretty cool.
Nice.
That's amazing, man.
So it's like Friday night, and then it is all day Saturday, all day Sunday. When I say all day Saturday, it starts at like 6 and goes through to like 8 p.m.
Wow.
So it is all day.
You're going to be eating the entire day, too. That's going to be amazing. Just tasting it the whole time.
Do you know what the schedule looks like? What are some of the topics you're covering? Or is it just show up and learn?
So a lot of it is hands-on, because it's like at a working barbecue food truck. And so part of what we're doing is cooking for the food truck to make sure that the food is there at the right time. So I think there's going to be a lot on like dealing with quantities and dealing with like restaurant type volume and stuff like that. I think that's where the interesting stuff is going to be. We'll be doing whole hog. We'll be doing cauliflower burnt ends. We'll be doing brisket. We'll be doing all the usuals, but Leroy and Lewis are famous for doing things that are a bit more culinarily adventurous. So I think we'll be doing some beef cheek stuff. They have a really good mac and cheese stuffed quail, which maybe we'll get to do.
Mm-hmm. What? Okay, cool. I mean, that sounds like an amazing mix of fancy and familiar.
And they've got some guest speakers. There's going to be a session of it will be at Bradley's workshop where he built his pit, so he's going to talk about pit building. And
sounds awesome, man.
Yeah,
super excited for you and looking forward to the report back on that. So soak it up and tweet it out.
I shall.
And eat a lot of it.
Oh, I'm gonna
eat a lot
if you're allowed to, I'm assuming, but I'm very tempted to try to crash and come have food at the food truck that you're cooking.
You totally could.
It'll be really fun.
Oh man,
sorry,
I want
Matt.
That to happen too. No, it's going to happen. I'm going to get down there for sure. Yeah. And by down there, I mean wherever you are relative to Minnesota. But
we're down. Just assume down. We're good.
I mean, definitely in a lot of ways down.
Yeah.
But we're not just talking about your power grid. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's true. Ooh. And our internet, you know. It's okay.
Yeah.
Well, I gotta say, thank God for windy Texas plains right now, because...
Yeah.
Wind is the only thing keeping us in air conditioning right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The wind farms are overproducing and everything else is underproducing.
What about the birds? The birds get hit with the...
They're fine.
They're fine? Oh, okay.
I don't think they're fine, but I think maybe macro level fine, but those individual ones, they're not fine.
So those...
No, those aren't fine.
But... Those blades don't move that fast. If the birds are stupid enough to get hit by them, they deserve to get hit by them.
Well, they, I think a lot of them now have the little sound systems on them to try to make it clear there's something there, which is good.
I thought it was like they color one of the blades black, and that messes up the image. It's kind of like the, you put a plastic bag with water in it and the flies can't.
That
doesn't work?
That's a myth.
I mean, Rudy's does that all the time here in Austin, but that doesn't technically work. It's supposed to be like a little mirror thing on the fly's eyes, and that's not, there's no real science. I'm sorry.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it seems to work sometimes, but I think that has more to do with just air motion and stuff. I don't know.
So all the times I put water in a bag in my backyard, I was just some asshole filling a Ziploc bag full of water.
Mm-hmm.
Can we just take a quick step back for somebody who hasn't heard this myth? JJ, what do you do?
So the short of it is flies, right? Like
Heard
they get annoying. Yeah, they're annoying. And the story goes is that you put water in a Ziploc bag and you hang it from a ceiling. And when the sun hits it, it fractals the light. So then the flies can't see it. So they fly away from it because it hurts their eyes or whatever. So you do that like out on your porch or whatever, and it's supposed to cut down the amount of flies. I've always thought it worked, but I've been hearing now that it's just a myth, and I'm just some asshole that fills bags with water every once in a while.
Dude, you thought you knew some magic trick. I mean, of course you're going to use the magic trick.
Yeah,
it's just maybe not statistically significant. That's a different beast.
There you go.
What I heard is significant is you started making tortillas on your own.
Yes.
Is that true? Tell us everything.
So, it was actually yesterday. We were trying to figure out what to have for dinner, and my day ended a little bit earlier, and I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to try to make tortillas before my mother-in-law gets home from work. And I went through the process. I went through the notes that she gave me, and I did actually with lard instead of butter this time, like actual lard. And she said, muy rico after eating one of them. And that was all I needed to hear to have the approval that I need to practice more because I need to get them a little bit thinner. But I have a pretty solid tortilla recipe now. And I can just kind of whip up flour tortillas in about 30 minutes or so. So
nice.
That's amazing, man. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You know, I'll actually make use of you very soon. I actually sent my my grill top away to get a tortilla press built into it.
Oh.
Ooh.
So when I get that back, we can collaborate.
Sounds good.
We can.
I volunteer to eat.
So my plan is we'll be able to be pressing fresh tortillas on one side while we have like rotisserie chicken or pastor or something on the other side. And nice. We can sort of go nuts.
That sounds great.
There's no audio way to indicate like drooling from being hungry now. So consider this the audio.
Do y'all want to hear the recipe?
Just no.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so it's real simple. It's half a cup of lard or butter as the fat. half a bag of flour, of a 5-pound flour bag. Use all-purpose or bread flour. A tablespoon of baking powder and a teaspoon of salt with a boiling kettle of water. And you put it all together and you slowly put the boiling water into the pan as you want to use actually forks to kind of like mix everything up until it starts becoming a ball of dough. And then you just keep adding it until it gets to the nice consistency. It'll eventually come together. You're going to burn your hands. It's going to hurt like a bitch, but it works. And then eventually everything comes together and it brings in a nice ball. Have it sit for about 20 minutes. And then start pulling parts off to make little discs about the size of your all about the size of the palm of your hands, and make the little disc. Then put it onto a flat surface, roll it out with a wooden or roll it out on the wood or whatever, and then throw it into the pan to cook. And that's it.
So you're rolling with a rolling pin. You're not using a press.
Correct. Like my mother-in-law got me like a nice wooden rolling pin specifically for tortillas when she found out I was curious and how to do this. And she got me stuff from Mexico. So, and I've been, this is the first time I did it without her watching me. Because you know, sometimes you got to try to do it yourself. And I will admit they were a little drier than they should have been. But as soon as my mother-in-law saw it, she was like, oh yeah, just fix it up. And she's like, muy rico. And then we had him for dinner last night. It was great.
So. That's awesome, man. Congratulations. That's
amazing. Yeah.
It's really satisfying when you conquer something you've been working on and having somebody watch for a while. And then you just whip it up yourself with either earned or unearned confidence, wherever you feel like you are on that spectrum. I often feel unearned at that phase. And yeah, that's great. That's something I hope, in all seriousness, people, when we do banter about food, I hope somebody listening to this just says, yeah, screw it. I'm going to try to make something tonight. I'm going to, and they give it a whirl. So very cool.
So,
all right, you know, Paul, what I saw? Oh, God damn.
You first.
Do you know what I saw the other day?
What was that, Paul?
It was an ad for this thing called Gita. And it was just a person walking around with what looked like a cooler box, like on wheels, just following them. And I'm like, what the hell is this? And so I Googled for it. And it is literally this robot that just follows you. And you can put things in it. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, it's like,
this is so good.
Cubot? What was it called
again? Is this real? Is this Gita? Is this a joke?
MyGita.com. MyGita.com. Yeah, it totally looks like a joke. It looks like it's like, you know, when the Segway stuff was announced and we all thought that was a joke?
Yeah.
I feel like this is in that same vein. Now, but the interesting thing is I could see it having some interesting applications for people with disabilities.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I bet you it wouldn't be able to follow someone in a wheelchair because nobody thought to program it for someone that doesn't have two functional feet.
Mm. Yeah.
And also, what happens when it hits a gutter or a step?
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's got like a manual handle when you need one.
Is it like a Dalek? It just kind of cuts scenes between where the stairs are? Or
nice.
Like, what's the deal?
Dude, this straight up looks like a Black Mirror thing. Like, I just assume it's going to like either become sentient or, because it's America, just start growing guns and... go on a murder spree. This is very strange. And I also appreciate so much that their homepage of a device that probably cost millions of dollars in development, the first thing I saw was the ultimate summer sidekick with summer spelt with one M.
Nice. Just
like, that's the first thing I see on this brand I'm going to take seriously to send like probably $5,000 for a creepy suitcase. Nope.
It's going to be a hot robot summer.
Just trying to picture how many people are going to try to figure out how to use this like they do laser pointers with cats, but like have it follow their animals, you know, just to like maybe mess with them a little bit. I have to admit, the thing that I'm thinking of, and this is going to sound kind of ridiculous, is for some reason it makes me think of those little dogs that make the bark, 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 pop, like the toys.
Oh, they do the that because
of the way the like wheels kind of settle into it.
Mm-hmm.
It has that like that. It's moving. It stops. I'm waiting for it to bark at me, and then flip all my stuff over. Maybe that's just me. Anyway, good time.
So I think when you start seeing people out with them, it will mean there are two people you're allowed to punch with impunities. Nazis and people that have Mike Eaters.
But I mean, like, there's people who have the suitcases that are, they look like regular suitcases that follow them through the airport, but they have like a little like sensor pack that they pull out and it's following the little sensor pack.
Mm-hmm.
So Matt, you're looking at me like I'm insane.
No, like in this century, like this is happening now. Like that's,
Yeah, it's like the your little rolling suitcase. They're the carry-ons.
Yeah, no, I know we have the technology. I haven't seen somebody use it, and I can't imagine the TSA in its wisdom letting that pass through anything. Like, we don't even let water, let alone semi-sentient. Oh, well,
it has the normal handle, so you roll it past and you put it through, just like you would with like the ones that have the chargers in them.
Yeah, technically, but you're supposed to pull the battery out when you're on the plane. Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, so no, they have those that just like follow you around. This kind of seems like the natural evolution. But who's going to steal it? Like, that's another one.
Right.
How easy would it be to steal? Just walk between them?
Have you used the coffee robot at Austin Airport?
Yes. That thing is amazing. Cool, right? Yeah. So for those of you who don't know about the coffee robot, it's like this big, I'm really bad at estimating sizes.
About six refrigerators.
And so I did not know you. Wait. Okay. Sorry. Quick aside. I had no idea JJ had amazing spatial analogy skills. Like, this is a new side of you.
Well,
like,
he measures everything with refrigerators. It's actually kind of weird.
That's where it gets.
That's true. Yeah.
That's where it's flawed. Number of refrigerators.
Like, that's 1/16th of a refrigerator. You're like, what the fuck does that even mean?
I now want to regularly cut to measurements of JJ's refrigerator metrics. Okay, sorry, Laura, you were talking about a sentient coffee machine.
Yeah, made of like six refrigerators. No, so there's a touch screen on it, and you kind of order whatever you want, and you watch it. It has a robot arm that sets up the grind and like presses everything down and then does the shots and it moves it over and it fills it with milk. And like, you're watching basically a robot inside of this thing, like doing all the arms, and then it delivers it to you through like a little window, but it's your typical paper cup, like normal stuff. It's cool.
Neat.
Robots in Minnesota.
I will say that the little robot's really nice because it's by the exit too. For the airport. So if you're like when we were allowed to be in airplanes, I used to actually hit the button when I was getting out of the plane, when I was flying home, so I could have some sort of a caffeine kick to make sure I don't like pass out in the lift I was taking home.
Yes, that's the other thing. 24 hours. I don't think Laura mentioned is there is an app, so you can like queue it up, and then when you get to the machine, you just tell it what number you are, and it grabs the coffee it made for you and gives it to you. Sorry, are we putting you to sleep, Matt?
What?
Yeah. Are we putting you to sleep?
It's just daydreaming about coladas and enchiladas instead of this coffee, and you know, lost track of time. Yeah.
No, how was the donut, by the way?
Oh yeah, how was the donut?
It was cake. It was eggy. It was a little bit. That's what it was advertised as. Like, it's going to be a little bit eggier. I definitely would prefer more of a classic brioche donut. That's like really same sort of bubbliness to it, but just so much lighter and fluffier, or just a standard cake.
So closer to like old fashioned donut? Is that the right one, the right term?
I like old fashioned, but I think those are more cake, and I don't actually know what makes a brioche, but I'm guessing Paul will do that.
Well, JJ's become our resident bread expert these days, so he can tell us what brioche is.
Brexpert.
Yeah, right. Isn't it just a bunch of egg and more egg and sugar, right? If I'm correctly, it's a thicker kind of brioche. Like, I've done that with some of my buns. I took a brioche.
So it's a fortified dough.
I love it. It falls like, I'm gonna let him be an expert, and then I'm gonna stop him from being an expert immediately.
And
that's,
so it's
that's the basis of our friendship. Haven't you realized that yet? That's the basis of our friendship.
Friendship.
Oh, there you go. Even better.
Oof. Yeah, so you fortify the dough with eggs and usually butter, so fat and protein and extra fat, and that kind of cuts through the gluten and it shortens the gluten strands, and so you end up with something that's fluffier versus like your standard bread. And yeah, I think, did I say sugar? There's usually sugar in there too. So it's usually kind of a sweet bread. There's a thing using them for hamburger buns, but I actually don't like brioche for hamburger buns. I like the potato roll. I don't want to feel the bun. Like, I want it to be there. I don't want it to like be there.
You don't want it to be a feature. It should be a vessel.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm a fan. I think potato buns are phenomenal. I also like a brioche to switch it up, but like strong preference potato.
Yeah, bun. I guess I'll say if I'm doing like a steakhouse style burger where it's a big, thick, juicy, like medium rare burger, I think that's when the brioche works. But like usually, if I want a burger, I want like a smash burger, right? I want a smash burger. Some cheese, some pickles, some grilled onion, and maybe that. And that's it. I don't want it to be fussy. And so I think there's that two camps.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think the problem is people will put the brioche buns on the smash burgers, and that's when it's a problem.
Agreed.
I still have not made pretzels. I need to make pretzels. I don't know why. I made bagels. I still have not made pretzels yet.
Well, just make sure you got plenty to drink. They'll make you thirsty.
Okay. Because they're salty. These
pretzels are making me thirsty.
No.
Isn't that are you kidding me? That's like a classic Seinfeld line.
Yeah, he's right.
I have to. Yeah. I'm that person that doesn't watch Seinfeld and never did and didn't like it.
Same.
Oh, okay. So I'm not the only one. I still know,
like, there's two things I know from Seinfeld. No soup for you, and these pretzels are making me thirsty.
Oh, okay. That's fair. Yeah. I don't know that line, though. But
I'm morally obligated to know more, but I didn't feel like this was the audience for that. 3 Estonians, 1 token Jew. Ouch. Oh, come on. Don't feel that bad. I'm fine. Okay. So I see something starting with, you know how I know the pandemic is really over. Please finish that thought in our show notes.
I got to spend more money arguing over an expense report than the actual cost of the expense report. And that just reminded me of pre-COVID times when we would be traveling. And I would get mad because you didn't have all your meals at McDonald's. And so this is probably the first expense report I've done in quite some time. And it was for it was like a team building event, but obviously it's not in person. So it was everyone at home. Everyone ordered food. And of course, good luck ordering anything delivered to your house for less than $40 a day, which is apparently our per diem. And I was
thanks for hitting that limit so I can know it.
Is it like 1945? Like, what's going on? Like, are we in the middle of the Great Depression? But anyway, that was a thing. But I do enjoy the delicious irony of spending way more time and money arguing over a couple of dollars than just like accepting it. But I'm also happy.
Hidden money.
I'm happy.
Hidden money.
For them to pay me my salary to fill in expense reports. I've got friends that get really mad about spending all their lives in like Concur. I'm like, whatever. Like, if these jokers want to pay me six figures to click it through Concur like some kind of idiot, then beats doing real work.
Oh man, that's some heavy that's some good. It feels very familiar, so that is handy. So that's interesting. I don't know, I'm curious about that per diem, because it should be based on the city of purchase.
It is based on city of purchase, and so it's $40 unless you're in one of these named cities, and I think it goes up to $66.
Yeah, which
I think IBM is 75. I think.
Yeah, I think it's.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I used to, as somebody who used to travel, like, yeah, I used to know them and make sure, like, ooh, I get to have a proper meal in this city and avoid it in that city. And even though most cities have about the same cost, unless you're in Vegas where it's $40 for breakfast and lunch and dinner, or dinner's like four times that. But yeah, I mean, thanks for bringing us back to just how far we've come, really. Yeah. Really, and also stayed the same. It's nice to feel connected to the 40s.
The before times and the after times, we're going to be talking about it that way.
Absolutely.
BP for before pandemic, AP
VP
pandemic. I don't know if anybody's been following like the Girl Scout cookie chaos going on. The Girl
Not
Scout
at all,
cookies
but I'm
have
heavily invested
15 million boxes, or they had 15 million boxes of cookies left over.
Are they just shit ones?
No, it's like people aren't, they don't know how to sell them because they can't have like tables out and everything like that. So like what? When you don't get the parents going around from desk to desk to desk saying like, hey.
Yeah, or from door to door. We actually like
door to door.
Mid pandemic, we actually had, I think it was a Girl Scout come and knock on the door. And it was like, no. But, like, we would occasionally still get like random door to door salespeople. It's like,
oh, we did
no,
the whole time.
I'm
the
not opening time. My door to you. What are you talking about?
They come by here like to do like pest control, lawns, right. Windows, trees, like, hey, we'll do that. And they kept doing it. And I'm like, you know, I feel really sorry for you. But dude, like,
yeah, I mean, no,
we're not going to come have a conversation.
You got to put food on the table. I get it. But still,
yeah, it's hard.
I'm not opening my door for you.
But the Girl Scout cookies one was like a whole nother level. So
right.
I remember there's a drive-through coffee place near us that was doing really great business during the pandemic because it was like, oh, hey, you know, low contact, you're in your car, et cetera, et cetera. They set up a table on the way in and out. I'm kind of curious if that actually sold well, but Yeah. So right now the Girl Scout cookies have this like that surplus. Many left over. And, you know, I think they're having trouble with some financing and things like that because of that. But I don't know.
Can't they just create an Etsy store?
Yeah. Or just like
seriously, how hard could Patreon. It be? Like, really?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
There are plenty of companies who will handle logistics. There are plenty of companies that will give you an easy way to have a website to sell cookies. Like, I don't think this is that hard a problem to solve. I mean, so a friend of ours, their daughter set up a Google form, and you would fill out the Google form and send her a Venmo with the total. And then like sometime in the next few days, the cookies would just show up on your doorstep.
Yeah. Well, I think they're having bigger problems at Girl Scouts because like there's falling memberships. So,
right.
Because frankly, I don't know. I wasn't a Girl Scout, but I kind of feel like maybe there's other things people can do other than Girl Scouts, but Girl Scouts can be great. Depends on where the location you're at. Same thing with Boy Scouts, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. But yeah, the Girl Scout cookie thing. That's an interesting shortfall. And it makes me want to say, hey, I will have this many delivered to my house. I just don't have room.
Yeah.
Doesn't
where are we Girl Scouts thin mints? Are we thin mints in the freezer or not?
Oh, hell yes. Yeah. And ideally having one in the one fresh box in the freezer at all times. So I am understocked. So I'm just seeing the opportunities in here, not the downsides, Laura, of like, that means, can I order? Like, I feel order like they you. Needed, they need some digital transformation at the Girl Scouts. Mm-hmm. I need a subscription model where Thin Mints show up every 4 months. At a minimum, maybe all some right. Caramel Delights because, or Samoyas, if depending on where you are in the world, you call them that. They are because they're absolutely delicious.
So this sounds like everyone needs to get together and like Red Hat needs to provide like the transformation. And then we need like, I don't know, AWS kind of giving them the website system, high serverless, whatever. I'm just going to start throwing words out there. I don't know. Somebody set up their digital transformation.
They've been extracting money from people for years. If they need to run a website to sell some cookies, they can run a website to sell some cookies.
Well, but you're missing out on the
Squarespace like the rest of us.
But you're missing out on the chance to like sell an organization on digital transformation. They need more DevOps in their cookies.
I mean. Yeah, it's great to sell.
Come on,
things,
I'm trying to be like, sarcastic.
I don't think DevOps is their problem. Sorry, I'm taking this way too seriously.
Yeah,
you are.
But all serious face on this is very confusing.
But it's because food, I guess,
it's
right? Cookie.
It's a people problem. We're not even getting to the technology yet.
Right? We should be talking about culture, damn it.
Oh.
But if you like Thin Mints, I highly recommend you check your local Cost Plus World Market to see if they have Arnott's mint slices, which are by the same people that do Tim Tams.
Oh,
okay.
And they're like thin mints, but thick mints.
What's it called again?
Mint slice.
Mint slice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As in
Tim Tams, though, those are legit as well.
Yeah.
Have any of you ever done a Tim Tam slam?
Really?
Other than Paul, I love that I'm gonna dunk on an Australian real quick. Anybody?
Dunk?
Anybody
dunk on an Australian?
Anybody ever done a Tim Tam slam? No, not even you, Paul. Okay, cool.
I have nothing.
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course. JJ has. In fact, I'm sure I've made JJ do one.
This thing, right? Mint slice.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, that's so good. And look at how thick the mint is. That's the problem with the thin mints. There's like.
It's in the
like
name, Paul.
It's because they're thin.
Don't ask it to be what it's not. Mint. God. My cat's climbing me like a tree right now while we're so trying cute. To podcast.
So cute.
Fine.
Buddy. This chunker's up 3 pounds, which I am happy about.
Yay.
JJ got to witness me yelling at my cats for having sex with each other.
Yeah, that was. I really wish I was recording when that happened. It was so perfect. Just all of a sudden he walked away. He's like, stop fucking, you stupid cats.
Please tell me that wasn't on a live stream or something.
It was just before we went live.
Just before.
Nice.
But like, they're both boys. They're both You know, they've both had their bits removed, but Lemmy-Wing's pillow pants will just like once a day climb on top of Chairman Meow and just go to town. And I'll hear he makes this noise. I'm like, I know what he's doing. And poor Chairman just kind of sits there with this look on his face of like, if I stop struggling, it'll be over sooner.
Oh no.
Oh.
Oh no. No, I mean cat sex is an awful awful observation. I've seen it. Scarring.
Yeah, but but there's no penetration. It's more like cat frottage.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's more friction than anything else.
Hey. It's a very important part of our pubescence. Learning the power of friction. Guess your cats are still pubescent. Mm-hmm. What do you want?
It looks like your cat's enjoying some friction right now on your shoulder.
No, she just feels, I don't know, secure up here, just up on my shoulder. Ass in my hand.
Yeah, I was going to say, she's not on your shoulder. She's like perched on your hand and just draped over your shoulder. Like,
yeah, I could like hold her more like a baby with her over my shoulder, but then she's heavy, man. Like, I've got to like rest my arm on something. And that's good. She had like a health scare last year and dropped like a third of her weight. Oh, wow. And didn't know if she was going to make it, but she's now a healthy purring chonker on my shoulder. So,
yeah, we'll take the healthy purring chonker over anything else that works.
Any day. It's a good resistance workout.
Is she the type of cat that'll come and sweep on your face in the middle of the night? Or is she like a... Okay.
Yeah, no, she's pretty much as long as it's like under 80 degrees, like she will sleep in my arm pocket here, like in my armpit pocket every single night.
Nice.
And I freaking love it. Yeah, she's great. And my partner, Adele, like if a cat or I touches her while she is sleeping, you get hand palmed away. So it's the cat has had no choice but to choose
at least
me.
You have someone to snuggle with.
Yeah, I mean we're great before the falling asleep. It's just after that, just no touching.
No, I meant the cat gets to snuggle with you.
Oh yeah.
This fuzzy. I assume the cat's always Little Spoon. It would be weird if the cat was Big Spoon.
Yeah.
No, we take turns. You know, bigger people like spooning too.
True.
We're not just the outside for everybody, just because I'm a foot taller than you. Or 5 feet because she's a cat.
Yeah.
I'm sorry we talked about this so long. We can move right along here.
Oh my goodness.
I was gonna say, I'm planning on probably making more tortillas this weekend. But I actually am going to my first outdoor cook-off thing on Saturday. Which I'm going to be pretty excited about. It's like, so over by the lake, and it's like in a little park or something, and a bunch of famous barbecue people will be there.
Oh yeah. That's at Bob Wentz Park, I think it is. Windy Point.
Yeah.
Just around the corner from our very famous Hippie Hollow.
Yep. So that's what I'll be doing this weekend. It'll be fun.
Sounds cool. Wait, are you competing or is it more just a collective, just make some food together?
No, it's you buy tickets and they give you basically as much beer tastings and food tastings as you want.
Cool.
It's outdoors and, you know, I feel like it's safe enough right now. And it's by the lake too, so you can just go jump into the lake and come out if you need to.
If you need to wash off the COVID.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. That's how COVID works. Fluid dynamics. Just wash it off. Am I right?
Yeah, exactly. Something like that.
So I'll report back next week. See if it's a success and or if I'll be coughing and on a ventilator. We'll see.
I think you'll be okay.
You'll be fine.
I'm more entertained by how many people are getting food this weekend, like doing big cook-offs, big something.
Oh, you know what? Oh. So, well, you just reminded me. I'm like, I had a food thing planning too. So there is a unofficial group on Instagram called the Saturday Dumpling Club. in the Twin Cities. And it's this guy who's former chef and started his own thing. And he's just been experimenting with different dumpling recipes. I've tried to get a pack every weekend for 11 months and I haven't once succeeded. They sell out immediately. I almost wrote software for it, but I got lazy. But he's stepping up and they're actually doing a little pop-up this weekend at one of my favorite breweries. Outside, out back, they're going to sell like cooked, like a few thousand dumplings for a few until they sell out, which will inevitably be within a couple hours. So I'm gonna post up there on Saturday and try to get some dumplings and one of my favorite beers.
Nice. Which brewery?
It's called Fair State Co-op. It's okay. It's a cooperative brewery that's owned by the people that brew there and in North Minneapolis, and they make some really, really tasty range of brews.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So that's happening. And the barbecue place that the Twin Cities, that was rated number one in a ton of different
places. It's easy to be number one of one, isn't it?
Yeah, number one of five, but you know, who's counting? They actually branched off, so they've been doing smash burgers once in a while, and it was so popular they actually bought another food truck. So there's now Animale's burger food truck that's, you know, out and about with like burgers of the day. And
are they brioche buns?
Ooh, I actually don't know. I'm pretty sure they're potato, like really light potato buns.
Nice.
Yeah. But like they do sometimes they grab like some leftover burnt ends or brisket or something and chop it up and turn it into like just like a fancy behemoth of a burger. They called one the meat tornado that had salt and pepper. What's that?
It sounds like my kind of burger.
Yeah, I'd say it's like a quarter of a refrigerator for working from that metric. Perfect. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
I understand now. I understand.
Yeah. About like.
Speaking of recently opened burger places, we have a burger truck that recently turned into a brick and mortar called Jew Boy Burgers.
And excuse me.
he's a Jewish dude who makes burgers.
I hope so.
Right, and he also has a sub shop now called Jew Boys Sub Shop. But
where's my T-shirt?
One of the things he does is he does like latkes as the buns, and you can get like latkes to dip into queso as well.
Oh, that sounds so fucking good!
And his burgers are phenomenal, and his subs are supposed to be really good as well.
Huh.
His
truck, Laura is not impressed.
No, I am. I'm thinking of the possibilities of how good that would be. I'm like,
was his food truck over by Pine Hills Pizza on Burnett originally?
It moved around a bit, but
is it white and blue? White and blue.
Oh God, I can't remember.
Oh, okay,
I think it was.
That would add up.
I think it was at the Arboretum one time when I went there, but whatever. We're talking about places that most people listening won't know.
Or all of our listeners, because, you know, we have like a bunch of people just in Austin.
Four of us.
We're the ones who just keep downloading it over and over again.
Download it to this machine. Wait a minute. Who has the farm that they're using to download it?
Matt wrote a Python script.
Yeah.
Suddenly there's an expense report getting filed and they're like, wait a minute. Where did all these servers come from? Hold up a second here. All these serverless functions running.
There you go.
Gotta make up your mind. Is it server or is it serverless?
It should be both. See, like if you really want to optimize everything for your digital transformation so that we can buy more Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah.
Hello, developer advocate. That was a very good developer advocate answer.
Thank you.
Depends on the persona you're talking to, but yeah, I'll allow it.
We want more cookies. It's okay.
We want more cookies. That is an outcome we can all agree on. And you knocked it out of the park by saying focused on the prize.
Mm-hmm. But we want cookies in our mouth, not in our browser history.
Also true.
Yeah, true. True. So we talked about the food we're eating this weekend. Anything else people want to share?
No.
Everybody Perfect. Say bye.
Bye.
Bye.